This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And Michelle and I have been using MEI and Mouse Fan Travel for a combined total of 15 years. And we go to them because we know that they are the best in the business and they always treat us right. They are a fee-free agency, so we encourage you to also try them. Go visit them at MEI-travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com. And also brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. When we say hospitality has a new name and we say it's All Star Vacation Homes, that's because they know what hospitality is all about. Their homes are beautiful, they're well furnished, and we encourage you to go see them. So visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 189 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com, and with me on the show is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Doing well. I went out to do we're recording this on July 5th. We went out to do a 10-mile run, and we discovered that the route that we were going to run on was going to be a parade.
A postponed parade,
which was, so we decided rather than get the floats out of the way and dealing with balloons and things like that, we decided to postpone our 10-mile run. So I'm sort of happy because we did an hour and a half hours yesterday. So.
Yes. So it'll be a good race. All right, so I have a shout out today to somebody who got their first race medal, and we know what a Pandora's box of fun that's going to be, because once you get your first, you just can't stop. And that is, his name is Chad Wyrick, and he ran in Foxborough. I think he finished up in Gillette Stadium. So he posted on the Mickey Miles page his first medal. So I love it when I see people do that. So congratulations, Chad.
Congratulations, Chad. On this show, we are continuing our questions with a very, very special guest. Let me see if you can guess who she is. She's known as the Diet Diva. She appears on Emotional Mojo. She appears on The Daily Buzz. She's the team dietitian for the NBA's Orlando Magic basketball team. She is the official run. She's the official nutritionist for the Run Disney people. And she is the author of the Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies, and most importantly, she is the self-proclaimed eat often, eat light kind of girl, Tara Guidus. Tara, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Michelle.
I have a question before we start. When you're dealing with people in the Orlando Magic, I mean, is your head like straight up in the air when you talk to them because they're so tall?
Well, yeah, I'm usually. I'm 5'6".
Okay, same as me.
I'm usually looking up for sure.
You don't get on a stool and try to like tell them stop eating so many carbs.
Well, usually what works is they're sitting. Where I'm at usually is in the locker room where we have the food for them, and so it's like a lounge, the players' lounge. So they're sitting at like high top tables, and then I'm standing next to them. So then we're kind of eye in eye. They're like sitting on these high tops.
That's funny.
So before we get into the show, I've been dying to ask you this question. I wanted to ask you off the air, but I think our listeners would love this. When you started working with them, what did you find you had to get them to learn how to do? What kind of adjustments did you find they needed to make in order to become better athletes, become better basketball players?
Number one, hands down, is just to eat more often throughout the day and to move more earlier in the day. These guys are machines. I mean, their body composition, their performance, it is beautiful to watch. I mean, they really are amazing athletes. And a lot of them just don't eat throughout the day enough and then, you know, do the old eating too much at night, just like a lot of us. mortals.
That's a sumo wrestler diet, right?
Exactly. But they're huge elite athletes, and so they're able to get away with it from a body composition perspective, but it does eventually catch up with them, and it does eventually affect their performance. So I work with them to just spread their calories out more throughout the day and eat, and then definitely eat more closer to the game time. And then a lot of them snack during halftime, and then we feed them very close to post game instead of waiting a couple hours till they're on the bus or on the plane.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'd love to know more about that, but we have so many people who ask questions, so we should probably jump in. The first one is from Celeste Baird, and she says, I'm currently researching about whey shakes. Which one is the best, and what should you look for in each brand? So many options.
There are a lot of options when it comes to protein shakes, and you specifically mentioned whey shakes. There's also soy, there's hemp, there's pea protein. I mean, you name it, there's all kinds of different protein shakes out there. Whey is, from a runner perspective and from a just sports nutrition perspective, I think one of the best ones to do for muscle recovery. So I do like the whey protein shakes. I don't specifically have a brand that I love. I think you just have to do some taste testing of different ones that you like. And if it doesn't have very many carbohydrates with it, make sure that you're combining it with something that has carbs, like make it into a smoothie where you have a banana in there and some milk or some fruit juice or whatever, so that you're getting some carbs in there. So I'm not that concerned about whether it has carbs or not, because you can always add carbs. If it does have carbs, then you could just do it as a standalone, mix it with some water, and there you go. But I don't think that's very tasty. Personally, I like to throw a scoop of protein powder into a smoothie with lots of other things that help me recover.
Sounds good. Our next question comes from Jennifer Hart, and I hope I pronounced her last name right, Leiston. And she says, for someone who cannot have caffeine, what is another way to get a, quote, quick pick-me-up in the morning to help wake up and have energy for an early morning run?
Well, I don't do caffeine either, and I am just a natural morning person. It may take me one or two snooze buttons, depending on if my cat hears the first alarm and then jumps on me and wants to be fed. So a quick pick-me-up, I mean, really is, you know, energy is glucose and oxygen. So moving absolutely wakes you up. So you could do 10 or 15 jumping jacks to wake you up right away, and that'll do it. You can splash some cold water on your face. And then, of course, you want to have some nutrients, some glucose, some energy. And by glucose, I just mean food. I just mean carbohydrates primarily. So have, you know, half a bowl of cereal, a little bowl of cereal, have a piece of toast. Have some sports drink. You know, you definitely want to have a little bit. I just do a lot of dry cereal and water before I go out for my runs in the morning, early morning, and that will get you with some energy.
And also, if you're having gel, there's some gels with caffeine. Oh, I guess if you don't do caffeine at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And make sure that you read labels of those gels, because I've bought some before that have caffeine, and I'm like, darn it!
You just don't care to have it at all, or for me,
it gives me headaches. Mm-hmm. So if I have it one day and then I don't have it the next day, I'll get a headache. So I just try to go caffeine free, except for my chocolate, of course.
Got it. Okay, Bill Taylor says, are there certain types of food that are better to eat prior to a run in warmer months during the summer?
That's a good question. There's a lot of foods that have a high fluid content, so I would say fruits and vegetables are going to be your best bet. And a banana, it's not super high fluid, but I always advocate a banana a day for a runner. Watermelon is going to be a good one. An apple, peach, berries, you know, any of those are going to be really good. You're getting carbs, you're getting electrolytes, and you're getting fluid. So those would be really the foods that I would say during the summertime especially are going to be best to do before a run.
Our next question comes from a dear friend of ours, Barb Kennedy. And again, a lot of these questions are pretty close to being the same, but we just want to make sure that we cover them, Tara. So this one is involving, again, an early morning run. And Barbara says, for early morning runs, do you really need to eat before you head out for a weekday routine of 3 to 4 miles? A little coffee with cream and away I go. What about before a 5K race around the same time of day?
Barb, come on. You absolutely have to eat something. And again, if you don't want to, quote, eat, then at least drink something with sugar. Coffee with cream does not count. You have to have either some sports drink or a little bit of juice, you know, have something. But I prefer you to actually eat something. So what happens, the science behind this is that while you're sleeping, you're using up your glycogen stores, your energy stores. So you're already depleted when you wake up in the morning. You know, that's why they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, kickstarts your metabolism, yada, yada. All of that because your glycogen stores. Well, your glycogen stores are what fuel your muscles. Hello. So you're not going to be able to work out as hard. You're not going to be able to do as well in that 5K. You're not going to be able to, you're more likely to hit the wall. All of those things if you don't give yourself some energy. Now, you don't need to match how much you're going to burn. So if you're going out for a 5-mile run, you don't need to eat 500 calories before you go. But just showing some effort to your body. Eat, you know, 200 calories. Eat some cereal, a piece of toast, half a bagel, banana. You know, eat something that's like 150 to 200 calories before you go out for those runs. And that will teach your body that, yes, I'm giving you some glucose, but the rest of the glucose to help replenish some of what was lost overnight. I'm not completely replenishing, but then as I'm running, you can take it from the rest of the stores that are there. But you definitely need to eat something before you run. Otherwise, especially in the summertime here, when we're actually working harder, our heart is working harder, the humidity, all of that is making you actually work harder. And so you're more likely to hit the wall during the summertime and get cramps, of course, because of the heavy sweating.
So I have two follow-up questions, but first I want to say I can tell why those basketball players don't mess with you.
Smack them around.
Yeah, the first one is, and I don't know if I've asked you this before, maybe it's just been in my mind to ask you, but it seems to me that I need more gels when I'm running in warmer weather. And even if I eat something when I, you know, before I start, which I always do, it seems like I need more. Is there a biological reason for that?
Yeah, I mean, during the summer, if you're exercising in the heat and humidity especially, you're not losing, like the sweat isn't evaporating, so you're more likely to get heat stroke and heat exhaustion. So you definitely need more fluid, but from a calorie perspective, your heart is actually working harder and you're putting out more effort. So it means you're actually burning a few more calories. Now, I don't know if that actually equates to like more weight loss in the summer or not necessarily. I don't know if it's like a ton more calories, but you might find that you're hungrier after runs in the summertime, or that you feel like you need a little bit more sugar. And it might just be an electrolyte reduction too that's causing your body to crave a little bit more sugar or want some more gels or sports drink during that run, because you actually are working a little bit harder.
That makes sense. And the other question I have is, I've tried lots of different things, and I'm sure you'd recommend that people try what works for them. And my brother, who's a triathlete, says that I should never do what I do, but it works for me beautifully, which is I always have a smoothie, and he always says don't eat dairy. And I just have a yogurt smoothie with fruit, and it is the thing that makes my stomach feel the best before a run in the morning.
Yeah, that's fine. Definitely non-traditional, but if it works for you, then I think that's fine to do. You know, most people do that after. Mm-hmm. But if that's what you want to do before, then yeah, keep doing it.
I've tried other things, and they always give me an upset stomach. So.
And you know, I have a follow-up to Michelle's follow-up, and it's a follow-up, and it's a follow-up to a lot of these questions. I'm seeing a lot of people saying, "What should I do? What should I?" So I have a question for you, Tara. Can you discuss a little bit or talk a little bit about what you should not have prior to a long run? So, for instance, if you get up in the morning, what should you not have before that early morning run? Just to touch upon that.
Krispy Kreme. anything that's really high fat is not going to do you any favors. Now, I said, you know, spread a little peanut butter. Well, I'm talking about a thin little coat of peanut butter. That's fine. But I wouldn't go with Danish, you know, butter on the toast, even like anything that's super high fat. Fat is like a brick in your stomach. It's not going to do you any favors. So no donuts, no Danishes, no anything like that. And, you know, I'm fine with doing some protein, but make sure that you have some carbs with it. So especially for a long run, you know, so for example, my shorter runs during the week, I'll just eat some dry cereal as I'm drinking my water and sort of waking up and getting my shoes on, yada, yada. On a weekend run, when I'm doing a long run, I'll actually put milk in the cereal and, you know, have the traditional bowl of cereal because I want that protein because that's going to last me a little bit longer because I'm running 2 hours or whatever. So that's going to be the key, is to make sure that you primarily have carbohydrates, and it's okay to have protein, but I wouldn't just do plain protein. Like, don't just have a hard-boiled egg or two hard-boiled eggs and say, oh, I ate before, you know, I ran. Good for the effort, but let's do a piece of toast in the egg next time, you know, get some carbs in there.
Okay. Any other questions, Mike? Okay. No? All right. Well, this one is our traditional chocolate milk question. And this is Tammy Trout, and she's saying, hey, someone mentioned chocolate milk, but I had a friend, a former military who runs a lot, tell me that chocolate milk is something good to have after a run. What's the deal with that? True or fad? I know if you listen to other episodes with Tara, you'll hear some other discussion on this, but you say true.
Yeah, absolutely. I think chocolate milk is great. So there's four things that you need after a run, and that is to rehydrate, to replenish with electrolytes, you need protein, and you need sugar, aka just calories, carbohydrate, okay? So chocolate milk has all four of those. It has electrolytes, it's got calcium, it's got actually a little bit of sodium, and it has some potassium. It's obviously a fluid, it's got protein in it because it's milk, and because it's chocolate milk, it has some extra sugar in it. So you could do white milk, but it's not, which has 12 grams of lactose of sugar per cup. So that does have sugar in it as well, but the chocolate milk just has that little bit more sugar because you just did, you know, a bunch of exercise that will help you replenish your glycogen stores, those energy stores in your muscles a little bit more quickly. So that's why you hear it. If you're not a fan of chocolate milk, you could do chocolate soy milk. I don't care. That's still got protein. Don't do chocolate rice milk because rice milk does not have any protein. Almond milk does not have any protein in it. So you can do those, but just it's not going to give you any protein. Okay. So I'm not a fan of almond milk and rice milk as much as I am of soy milk for a replacement for dairy. And then if you don't want to do any of those, you know, the smoothie that we just talked about, like Michelle, the smoothie you make with your yogurt and some fruit, you know, that's perfect for after as well, because now you've got the protein plus you've got some carbs and electrolytes.
Well, I have a question here that is an interesting question, and it's from Robert Schultz. And he says, well, there's often questions about losing weight, but what about maintaining while ramping up training? He says, today, this is interesting. He says, today, just to break even, I'll need to eat about 4,000 calories. That's a lot of food to eat in a day. So he wants to know what should he be doing to maintain. He wants to maintain his weight. It sounds like he's trying to keep his weight at a certain level.
Is he on the Orlando Magic?
I know, everyone who's trying to lose weight, just shut your ears for a second. No, but you know, this is definitely a huge issue for a lot of people that, you know, they're not trying to lose. And when you start running 40, 50 miles a week, hello, that's a lot of calories, especially for a man, because of course men are burning more calories, and when they're running, they're burning more calories. So they're multiplying how many calories they need plus, when they're running. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, the main things that you're going to want to do, I mean, to get 4,000 calories in a day, you're definitely going to have to spread the food out there throughout the day so that you're not feeling like, ugh, a big slug when you eat a huge meal. And you also, the things that I like to get calories are anything that's liquid that has calories. Now, I'm not suggesting drinking a liter of soda, but fruit juice is a good way to get calories, but also get some of those electrolytes back. You know, potassium and orange juice and all that stuff. And of course, your vitamin C is going to be in all juices. So fruit juice is a great way to get calories, but isn't going to fill you up. The other thing that I love is nut butters. So if you're going to make a smoothie, for example, you throw a scoop of peanut butter in there, or, you know, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Now you've just upped your smoothie by almost 200 calories, 190 calories by putting 2 tablespoons of peanut butter in there. You can add seeds to things. You could add ground flax seed. You can add chia seeds, any of those kinds of seeds. Nuts and seeds are very healthy for you, but they have a lot of fat, which means they have a lot of calories. So those of us who aren't trying to gain weight are going easy on the nuts and seeds. And again, they're great snacks. They're great for you, but you just have to be careful so you're not eating the whole container. But that might be a great thing for you to snack on is a trail mix that has some dried fruits, some nuts, some, you know, M&Ms in there, you know, whatever you want. But those are my 2 ways to sneak calories in more is going to be with nuts and seeds and especially with butters. So put peanut butter on things, almond butter, whatever kind of butter you like. With the nuts, and then also the fruit juice or anything that has calories that you can drink because it doesn't fill you up as much.
Emily Anderson has a question. This was on Twitter, so you may not have seen this one. She wants to know, what would you advise for training and race days for the Dumbo Double Dare for a pregnant runner? She's going to be 24 weeks along for the Dumbo Double Dare and the half weekend at Disneyland.
Okay, so good question. And first of all, you need to get my other book that came out 2 years ago that's called Pregnancy, Cooking, and Nutrition for Dummies. So that one is also a dummies book, Pregnancy, Cooking, and Nutrition for Dummies. There's 100 recipes in that one as well and wonderful information about pregnancy, if I do say so myself. And in fact, I'm working right now on an app for pregnant women. I'm working with Johnson & Johnson. Actually, I'm providing all the nutrition content for a new app. So I'll let you guys know when that comes out. We're hoping that it'll come out in the new year.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to have exercise and nutrition and all kinds of stuff for pregnancy. Anyway, we get off topic. So the biggest thing, and I just need to say this before I even get into any nutrition recommendations, is you need to make sure that, I mean, you're training right now pregnant in the heat, and that race is going to be hot as well because it's at the end of August. Thank goodness it's in California and not Florida with the humidity. So, the biggest thing is you have to keep your core temperature down. So that means your pace is going to be much slower and you are going to need to hydrate, 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 hydrate. And if you feel yourself starting, your heart start to race, all of that, you need to stop and walk. So, you know, you're not breaking any records when you're pregnant, that's for sure. So just take it easy, please. I'm not going to say don't run the races, but just make sure that you take it easy. It's fine to run when you're pregnant, of course, but you need to just watch your core temperature. And I just really worry about it during the summertime. So the other thing is just to make sure, I mean, all of the guidelines that we're talking about here, but during pregnancy, there are certain things that are increased even more, like protein and iron and folate and a lot of these specific nutrients, omega-3s you want to make sure you get when you're pregnant, which are great for runners as well, because that helps to reduce inflammation. So there's lots of things that you can do, but it's just making sure that you're getting all of the nutrition in there. So, you know, minimizing the junk, even though you're running and you're pregnant, you need a lot of calories, but you also need the nutrition to feed your baby and not a lot of, you know, extra of the junk. So the other thing is making sure that you're eating light, eating often, and keeping yourself very well hydrated.
You know,
check with your doctor.
Yeah, that
yeah. And check with your doctor. There you go.
Everything you said is why I waited until after my childbearing years were behind me before I started doing long distance running. That's why.
Very smart, Mike.
I don't know when if we'll get a chance to talk to you again before the fall, and so I wanted to throw this in. There are a lot of people on Mickey Milers and also that send us email and saying that their first long race is coming up, and it's in October with the Twilight Zone Tara Tara 10-miler, or it's the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. And both cases, we've got a nighttime race. So keeping that in mind, can you talk about what type of advice you would give to anyone who is looking at their first long-distance race being at night, and what type of nutrition deals they need to be concerned with, or how their routine should be a day or two before the race so that they'll be in good shape before those 10 o'clock starts?
Yeah, and actually I am going to have a blog coming out on the Run Disney. You know, I blog on Run Disney, and they've been putting them up now again. They're regular again. So for a while there, they were having trouble keeping them up. But now every week we have a new nutrition blog on the Run Disney site. So I would definitely check that, because I am going to have one on night races as we get closer. And then I'll be speaking about this at the expo as well. But just a little preview now. You definitely want to eat throughout the day, but definitely keep it low fat for probably the day or two before then as well. So, you know, no French fries with lunch. You can have pizza, but not greasy pizza. So maybe a vegetarian pizza instead of the greasy meats. And make sure that you do eat. I mean, the race is going to be at 10 p.m. for these night races. So that's late. And so you can still eat dinner at, you know, I would still eat dinner at 5 o'clock, make it a light dinner. And then maybe an hour or two before the race, top off with a banana, you know, a half a bagel, something carby, but that isn't going to irritate your stomach. And for that 5 o'clock meal, I would have maybe a sandwich that's pretty, you know, bland and easy to digest. You know, even that slice of pizza, as long as it doesn't give you gastric reflux, tomatoes do for a lot of people. So it's, as long as it doesn't irritate your stomach and you're normally eating pizza, that would be fine. But, you know, a sandwich is probably the easiest thing to do, because it's going to be some carbs, it's going to be some protein, and do it 4 or 5 hours before the race so that you're digesting. But then still top off with some carbs and fluid as you get closer to the race. Absolutely no alcohol day of race until after the race. So don't be having a beer with lunch and on the day of the race. And I would even probably not have it the night before, but everybody does what they like. So feel free to do what you want. But I always try to not do alcohol the day before a half marathon or marathon.
Cool. So I just have one more question. Are you going to be in Disneyland for the Dumbo Double Dare?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. So are you going to be doing any, I'm assuming you're going to be doing some sessions at the expo?
Yes, I don't have my schedule for it yet, but I will be at all of the races this year doing, except for Expedition Everest. They don't have me at that one, but all of the races I'll be doing a talk. So you just have to check the expo schedule when it comes out. Usually, you know, a couple days or a couple weeks before, they'll have it online.
That's awesome. I'll be there, so I'll be looking for you, and I always enjoy your sessions too.
Yeah, last year we focused on how to lose weight while training for a marathon, because a lot of people gain weight while training for a marathon, ironically. So this year it'll be a totally different talk, so it'll be fun.
Great. Can't wait. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Anytime. Just let me know.
And to help you, everybody, lose weight while they're training for a marathon, we encourage you to go out and check out Tara's book. I know I'm going to do this. The Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies. I'm going to check that out right away. And we want to thank you, Tara. And again, for those of you who want to bathe in her information umbrella, you can go see her at dietdiva.net. She's on Emotional Mojo. She's on the Daily Buzz. And also, we encourage you, if you go to a Run Disney event, if you go to any of the expos, you really need to attend one of her sessions, because she just engages the entire audience, and everything that she says is so worthwhile and will help you become a better runner. So for Tara Guidis and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, where hospitality has a new name. And why do we say that? These homes are beautiful. They are beautifully furnished. They're right around the corner from Walt Disney World. You will be amazed at your experience. So give them a try. Go to www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new name. And of course, by MEI-Travel and Mousefan Travel. They are the best professionals in the business. They operate a fee-free agency. They have all the information you need to know and to help you put together the best possible Disney vacation, be it Disney World, be it Disneyland, be it Disney Cruise Line, or anything. Give them a try at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.